The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Al PGA Tour winner Lydia Ko, two-time major champion, 23 professional victories, 17 on the LPGA Tour. Lydia, welcome to Sports Interview.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Boy, you've played some great golf this year with top 10 performances in many of the majors this season. What do you think has been the key to your consistent play so far?
I feel like golf has a lot to do with momentum. So sometimes you're just feeding off good momentum, and one week after another, you're gaining more confidence. And confidence is important to everyone, but I feel like that's a huge key in my game. And I think that's the more confident I am, the more free I am swinging it on the course, less thinking and being strategic and playing smart, but really being aggressive with all of my shot making. So yeah, I think I was able to feed off some good momentum and then trying to take the positives and then also see what are the aspects that I need to work on and kind of go from there.
Well, it's working because you're really having a consistent performance. And I would assume that's what golfers really, strive for, right? I mean, it's so you can be hot and cold, but if you can keep steady results, I mean, that's really great.
Yeah. It's a goal of mine to, be more consistent. I think the more consistent you are, the more times you're going to put yourself in contention. And at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. The more times you put yourself in contention, and you keep knocking on the door, I say, hey, like at one point it's going to open. So that's what I'm trying to do. Sometimes it feels a little easier than others. Sometimes it's like a really hardworking top 10, or it's like, oh, it could have been a top 10. So like, I feel like it's very marginal. I'm just trying to stay patient and really enjoy the process and kind of see where it puts me at the end of the week.
I think patience is the key word, and having fun, right? Is that something you learn as you mature in the business? Cause you started so young.
Yeah, I think, before, I guess my rookie year, I didn't know a lot of the things that were going on. So, maybe I was a little bit more focused on my golf and, just try and get in that one week in and then, go into another week and get that week done. Now I think through the ups and downs, I'm able to embrace the situation a little better. And it's not to say I'm perfect right now, but I feel like even when things don't go my way, I'm frustrated, but I'm still, trying to not give up until the very end and know that, hey, just because things don't go my way, that doesn't make me a better or worse person. I don't connect it to my identity as much. And I think that's what these continuous years and experiences helped me to learn the most probably. And, when I was younger, I think, a bad day on the course, it made me feel like a not so good person. But now, I would say, hey, these are the things that didn't go too well. And, what are the things that I need to do to get better? And then go from there. So it's still a work in progress. But I think that's one of the big keys that I learned.
Yeah, I would say that, connecting yourself to the sport and being so immersed in it, you won at a very early age. Your first major was what, in 2015, and you were 17 years old. I mean, that's young. You were the youngest to ever win a major. So back then, I guess your whole identity was golf, right? And now you can kind of separate a little bit and you have more perspective.
Yeah, when I won the 2012 Canadian Open, I was there, I came off one of the biggest wins of my career at that time, which was winning the US Women's Amateur. And I got invited to play the Canadian Women's Open a couple weeks later. And I was just super excited to play alongside the best female golfers. And my goal was to just make the cut. And I played two really good rounds. And then I was two solid rounds, and then, you know, I made the cut, and then had a good Saturday and good Sunday to be able to win. And I think at the time my goal, I was just super excited to like play there alongside the world's best, that like the results and everything were kind of secondary, and it was just cool for me to be in that situation. And I remember like some of the adrenaline that was going through me then was something that I'd never experienced before as well. So it was just an overall like a really cool experience that in ways I was like so young that I wasn't able to like embrace and like really take in how like meaningful that win was. You know, winning that Canadian Open like gave me so many other opportunities from there, and then I got to win the Canadian Open again the year after. So is I think being young, like yes, in ways I think it helps you to not have as much pressure as maybe now, but I think I'm able to enjoy the wins, like whether it's actually winning a tournament or like the small wins in life. Like I think I'm able to like take that in a lot better. So it's like pros and cons to it all.
All right, I want to get more into that in a second, but I know you are at Lake Nona Country Club in Orlando, Florida, your home base, and you're introducing a custom shoe that you designed in collaboration with Echo Golf. So tell me about it.
You know, when Echo and I first had a meeting, I think that was last year. It was like just over a year ago last year, we started talking about the like a Lydia Ko edition shoe. And I know some of the other Echo ambassadors have done like their own version of their shoes with their stories. So I kind of wanted to like we wanted to do something that would represent me and not just like Lydia Ko on it, just to make the shoe like my edition. And you know, I think probably the two big keys are just having the silver fern, which is, you know, which symbolizes New Zealand, and also the hibiscus flower, which is the national flower of Korea. So it's kind of wanted to collaborate with the both, because like I'm very proud to be representing New Zealand, but also have the background of being born and born and raised my early years of life in South Korea. So I think it really symbolizes me. It's something that I'm very grateful for, and I think if I was just one or the other, like it wouldn't make me the person I am today. Like I feel like being a South Korean born Kiwi is something that I really take pride in, and the shoe really symbolizes that while featuring some of the cool technologies that you know, Echo has with, you know, the boa, not having to tie your shoelaces, and you know, the original Biome G5. So it's really cool. I've worn Echoes for a while now, and it was kind of the first shoe where I didn't really have to break it in. You know, I hate taking new shoes and being worried if I'm gonna have calluses at the end of at the end of the week or after a couple of days, and I've never had that problem. So it's kind of a shoe that I've always relied on, and to kind of have my story with the shoe is something that we're all excited, and I personally think it's the coolest one out of the special edition. So
I love it, the fact that you don't have to break it in. Why is that?
I think the quality of like the leather has always been like so good, and it's like I think soft, but sometimes soft could mean like it's not stable enough. But I've never really had the problem of like instability. So it's kind of having just a good combination of both. And I know that leather shoes was along with like leather, anything can get really heavy, which is obviously can be tiring because we're walking all the time. But it's just like a pretty lightweight shoe, and I think that's the key at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how cool shoes look, like they're on your feet and we're having to walk all the time, and it has to be comfortable and it has to be performance enhancing as well. And I feel like they've kind of ticked all the boxes for me, and it's slightly like a different shape to like the G4 that I wore. So, and I really like it. It's a little bit more trendy.
I love that. Yeah, because sometimes you see the most stylish golf shoes now for women, but you could never wear them on the golf course because they just don't give you enough support What do you look for in a golf shoe when you're playing golf? Obviously, you have to have good balance and it has to be comfort, but is there anything else that you need in a good golf shoe to be comfortable and to perform at your highest level?
I know, like, nowadays, like, there's like spikeless and spiked shoes. There's like so many like different I guess variations of the soles of the shoe itself. Like, and I've played with some Echo shoes that have been spikeless before as well. And what I like about these ones is actually that it's got a mix of the spikeless bottom plus the spikes. So it's kind of having the two like dual bottoms, where it's not like where you have like a million of those normal spikes, like you had to in olden days, because it had to really cover and give you that traction to the ground. But you know, even if it has like only six spikes, it's still got the other areas where it would work like a spikeless shoe. So it's kind of like a mix. And I think I, with whether it's like clothing or shoes, like I always try and go for something that's comfortable. Just because like we have to wear it all the time, and if it's restricting or if I'm getting like more fatigue from it, then it's not really worth it because it wears down on you. So like I think it's like a good one. And I feel like golf shoes sometimes can look very golf, like very traditional, like where you might not be able to like wear it to like dinner right after your golf round. Like you just look like you just came off the golf course. But with everything, like everything's getting a little bit trendier, where like you can go from the golf course to like a quick bite, like, and it you wouldn't look like, hey, that person just came and played for at like Nona Country Club. So I think like sometimes I'll just wear like my Lululemon like joggers and a shirt to practice, and then I'll wear the golf shoes, and then I'll go to the Korean supermarket and go grocery shopping. So it's not like, I feel like a lot of the things are kind of melding in together, and I think it keeps the performance aspects of what needs to be in a good golf shoe whilst not making it too old or outdated.
Right. And as we mentioned, it has the BOA technology, that little knob on the shoe that you turn to tighten up the wire shoelaces. And you don't see that, too often in women's shoes anymore. And I'm just so thrilled that it has the BOA technology. I can't wait to try them.
And I think like when we decided to go with the BOA, like we said, hey, do you want to put it at the front or like the side or like the back? Like, where do we do it? And we thought having it on the side was like a slightly different look to the normal ones, where it's most of the time it's like put where you screw it at the front of the actual shoe. So it's like a different look. And I always had a tendency, like it must be the way I walk, but I sometimes get caught in my own shoelaces and like trip over. So it's nice to not have any shoelaces to like tangle myself in, and it's just easy. And I think with the BOA, like you're really able to customize like how tight you want your shoe, because so like with shoelaces, I feel like it's hard to do that because you have to like unravel it from the bottom and make it super tight, or like vice versa. And with the BOA, like you just keep doing it until like what is comfortable for you. And I've seen players like have it like pretty loose because they just want that little bit of breathing room, and some people that want it really tight, and everybody's feet is different. So it's like nice that you can customize it in that sense without it being work.
I want to ask just a few questions about golf teaching all of us so many life lessons. What do you think you bring from your golf game to your day-to-day life?
I think like patience is such a big thing. Like you need re require a lot of patience when you're at the golf course, just because like some days you're gonna do like your 110% and it's still like the results aren't gonna show. But like just because it's like that one moment, like you can't let that be the determining factor of like, oh, like maybe the work I've done is like not good enough, or like it's not the right stuff. So it's kind of like knowing the patience that sometimes like you're gonna have days where it's not gonna be your day. And then some days is like, and it's totally out of your control. And then some days, like, things are gonna feel easier, and you make mistakes and you get lucky, and like how you couldn't even write a story on like how like it would all work. So I feel like patience is such a big key, and just knowing that like you gotta keep working at it, putting in a little bit by little, and the results may not show right away, but at the end, like the person that works hard and is gonna they're gonna get that ray of light that we're all kind of hoping for. And I think that's the same in life, is that sometimes like you really want something so bad, and you try everything you can, and it just like it doesn't like show right away, but then you keep doing those things and waiting, and those moments come. And I feel like we all have ups and downs, and sometimes we all just wish it was just up all the way, but if you go up, there's always going to be a little down. But even if you go down, you know that hey, there's somewhere up that I can kind of reach towards too.
Well, you've won a lot of titles, Lydia. All champions, though, as you mentioned, have droughts where, you do have the up and down moments. There might be a long period of time when you haven't won. So what keeps you going during those difficult times?
I think it's just, it's like when you play with somebody and they're like, oh, that one shot made us come back to play the next day. I feel like it's kind of like that too. Like, we all know what it's like to shoot a low score, whether that's at the club championships or whether it's just a game with your friends or like a big, like a major or whatever. And I feel like, we all know what it feels like to be in that kind of position, and all know that kind of surreal feeling when you hit the shot that you kind of want, like whether it's like, okay, I'm gonna hit this high draw over this tree, and like you execute that shot and you go, wow, like there's that fulfillment. And I think like sometimes we chase only the goods and real and like only think about results. And yes, like results is what like defines like our career, but that's not it. It's like there's small wins and bigger wins, and bigger wins, yes, I'm sure, is the one that's holding the trophy at the end of the week. But like if you have three mediocre rounds and then shoot a 65 on the last day, and then you might finish like 20th, but like that's still like a win to kind of come back from like three okay rounds to kind of finishing strong. So I think there's like much more to it, and it's like with golf, there is no perfect round of golf. You can't do like 300 points like you do in bowling. Like I don't like you'd have to make a hole in one on every par three, hole out for eagle on every par four, and maybe eagle or albatross on a par five too. So it's like there is like no perfection. So it's almost crazy that we're trying to like be perfect at this, like who knows what perfect golf is, like what a perfect day is. So it's just I guess striving towards like our own vision of what perfection is.
Do you think that was the most challenging aspect that you had to maybe get used to as from your teenage years on to now, you're 25, just realizing that there's not perfection in golf. You want to be perfect, but did it take you a while to realize that, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like sometimes you shoot I shot 7 under in Toledo, but it's kind of a round where, oh, I could have shot like 9 under or like 10 under. It's like it's a great round of golf, but if you keep thinking like, oh, it could have been this, or like you win, and as a, oh, maybe I could have won by 2 strokes instead of just 1 stroke. Like there's always, I feel like if you keep going down that route though, like it's never gonna be good enough. And sometimes I think you have to accept the fact that hey, like you played 4 rounds and you tried your best, and that is what it is. And yes, what that so now what are the things that I need to work on, rather than oh, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. Because then I feel like it's just a road of like it could have and should have and would have. And I feel like it's a nonstop process at that point.
I have two more questions for you. So just on that theme, do you think, would you label yourself a perfectionist, or how would you looking at your development in the game, how would you kind of describe yourself in terms of, you know, perfection or just trying to get away from, you know, those that drive and that the expectations that you put on yourself?
Yeah, I feel like in golf, I'm probably more closer to that side than the other side, where in like non-golf related situations, I'm far from that. I like go, oh, it's okay, like I can do this tomorrow. Oh, I can organize this tomorrow. Where in like golf, like if I have to work out and I don't really want to, I'll still go work out, or I know that I need to do like putting and chipping, then I'll like do it. So maybe like it's also because I know this is my career and this is my job. So like obviously it's like different than like something where it's like it's not really on the line if I don't clean my mirror today. Like tomorrow, like I'm sure it'll still be dirty, but I can clean it. It's like not a big issue. So maybe it's kind of like that, I guess. But yeah, it's just different. And like, but in golf, I think I do try, and like if I'm working on something, like I want it to get there and not like be close to getting there.
So you're only 25, but you had a lot of success very early in your career. What are your goals for the future? How much more can you win, or do you think you can win with all the young talent coming up after you?
The Grand Slam is probably one of the biggest goals that I had kind of put out. And I would love to make it to the Paris 2024 Olympics, just because having played Rio and Tokyo, like it'd be really cool to kind of play another one. And that's probably the last one, because I don't plan to play like for another like 7 more years. No, this is already my 9th year on tour, so I feel like oh, there's like other things that I want to do in my life as well. So yeah, like getting to Paris and then Grand Slam or like being in the Hall of Fame would definitely be really cool as well. So yeah, I think there's still a lot of things that I want to work on and strive towards too. And but it's definitely not an easy process. And even if I do get there, that'd be like kind of a dream come true. But if it doesn't, you know, I'm still grateful about the things that have happened so far.
Lydia Ko, thank you so much, and congratulations on the new Echo shoe. I think it's wonderful, and how you've been able to fit in both the themes of, you know, South Korea and New Zealand, and your athleticism and your success as a golfer. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us here on Sports Interview.
Thank you again for having me.
The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Ice Fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best, protect your skin. Visit ibkol.com to learn more.